Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to O2 Czech Republic financial results for the full year 2017 conference call. I will now hand over to your host, Mr. Jakub Hampl, Head of Investor Relations. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Karina. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jakub Hampl from O2 Czech Republic. On behalf of the company, I would like to welcome you to our conference call, where we are going to present and discuss our unaudited financial results for 2017. As in the past, the presentation we will be using today during today's call has been distributed to you and is also available at our IR webpage. I'm pleased to introduce the speakers who will give the presentation, and later on, they will be also ready to take your questions in the Q&A session. First of all, Jindřich Fremund, who has been recently appointed the CEO and Chairman of the Board, and also, as in the past calls, Tomáš Kohoutek, the CFO and Vice Chairman of the Board. And now I would like to hand over to Jindřich to open the presentation.
So hello, everybody. Good morning. What I will do, I will take you through the highlights of the business performance and some business achievements we have gone through last year. And then I will hand over to Tomáš Kohoutek, our CFO, who will take you through the details of the financials and figures. So if I can please refer you to the document that you have received, to the page 5, well, I will briefly comment on two very important strategic achievements that we have had in 2017. One is the acquiring of the mobile spectrum in the Czech Republic. So as you may know, in a 3.7 gigahertz spectrum auction, we acquired a 4 megahertz block. This spectrum is suitable for efficient high broadband distribution, complementing mainly where fixed broadband coverage is not present or the infrastructure is not present. And as you will see further on in the presentation, wireless broadband products are a very important part of our strategy, and we have been already using some of it and having quite encouraging results going forward, so we are definitely looking into this opportunity. Now, apart from winning the 3.7 megahertz spectrum, we also managed to review our 450 megahertz license for another 15 years, so that is starting February 2018. You may know that the current license up till now was only for CDMA eVideo technology, which is somewhat obsolete and limiting, but the new acquired spectrum was neutralized. It's technology agnostic, so we would be able to use it in future for any technology suitable, and that best basically helps to leverage business opportunities within this spectrum. So these two things coming together with all the spectrum that we have had so far puts us ahead of the competition when it comes to spectrum license ownership. We have the most spectrum in both 2.6 and 3.7 gigahertz combined in TDD, and we think that this is giving us a very good position for future when it comes to rollout of WTTS technology. Of course, further offering our internet air wireless broadband solution, which we will talk about, to both B2C and B2B markets, and clearly being an important fundamental for future 5G rollout and potential carrier aggregation that we can do within all the spectrum that we have acquired. Second important event that I would like to briefly mention is extension of the O2 brand license. As you may know, we had been licensing the brand from Telefonica, and the O2 brand is considered to be a really important and valuable asset for both Czech and Slovak markets. It's clearly considered as a technology leading brand among telecom operators, and we have been working with this brand very actively, recently introducing our O2 Smart network concept. So therefore, it makes all the sense to us to go and prolong the brand license, which we did, for another 3 years until January 2022. And we have additional option if we decide to prolong the license for another 5 years until 2027, taking into account, of course, that the cost for the brand license would be therefore or after that reduced. So that gives us a good stable base going forward, and it also enables us to continue being part of the Telefonica Group Partnership Program, which gives us access to the best practices and collaboration with other Telefonica operations across the globe. As I mentioned, the brand license extension, of course, applies to Slovakia as well. In Slovakia, O2 is a very well-considered love brand, I should say. And last year, we have been winning the, or we had won the Operator of the Year now for the ninth consecutive year. So for us, it absolutely makes sense to utilize the brand in Slovak market as well. So those are the two more like long-term strategic initiatives or achievements that we have done. And now if I can please go on to the next slide, I will take you through basically two areas. I will briefly talk about some new propositions that we have launched last year. I will focus more on the second half of the year. And then I will briefly comment on the business performance that, that was coming out of those new product introductions. So, as you may know, in March, following successful pilot operation, we have launched our new broadband or LTE broadband proposition. This was basically branded under the idea of being able to reach 99% of all Czech households with a fixed broadband solution by either an existing XDSL infrastructure or newly LTE technology. So we are offering fixed broadband not only on the XDSL but also 800 or 1800 megahertz spectrum. This product is actually fixed to a given location, which is very important for us to be able to manage capacity in the network, and that enables us to really offer technology agnostic solution broadband to basically virtually any customer that contacts us and is interested in broadband solution. One of the ideas was not to confuse customers with technology behind the product. So once the customer contacts us or we make an offer for fixed broadband, based on where the customer's location is, we actually decide what is the best technology to provide the product on, and we don't basically involve customer in this unnecessary discussion. Second important achievement was the launch of the O2 Smart Box. You might have heard of it. For us, this was absolutely new and unprecedented operation because this was the first device of its kind that we completely developed in-house. And I dare to say that it represents absolutely unique product on the market. Why is that? In fact, the product is 3-in-1. It's on one hand a VDSL3, a very powerful modem. It is top-of-the-range Wi-Fi router, and at the same time it is an IoT gateway running on Z-Wave technology, which enables customers to connect basic IoT sensors and elements without a need to be technically skilled or without any need of fixed infrastructure within the household. So everything is wireless and very simple to install and set up. Apart from launching the smart box, we have leveraged it together with the 99 coverage message in our communication that you might have seen on the market in our communication campaign as Internet HD proposition. And as you will see on the next slide, we're very happy with the results so far. We believe this was absolutely the right move to do. Third point on the product innovation I would mention is some changes in O2 TV we did last year. So beginning of the year, we launched O2 TV Tennis, which is a dedicated tennis channel. And that is quite unique among European operators to have a dedicated tennis TV channel. We have acquired exclusive WTA rights for TV, And we have also purchased selected ATP men matches focusing mainly on the Czech players. Apart from tennis, of course, we are focusing on the sport number one, which is by far football. And the latest news that we announced only, I think, 2 weeks ago was our acquisition of UEFA Champions League matches for the next three seasons until 2020. But this time we have acquired exclusive and full TV rights, so the product will basically move onto O2 TV platform from the free-to-air world, so to speak. Every season, fans will enjoy watching over 140 live broadcasts during 18 weeks of the season. And of course, they will be able to watch it not only on the big screen through our set-top box, but also for on mobile, on tablet, or in the web interface, in the web browser player. We will also provide this programming into our business or Horeca product, but because you might know that we have approximately 1,200 restaurants in the country covered by our O2 TV business or Horeca product, which will be also streaming this exclusive football content. And last but not least, we will also provide selected matches or the full program itself in the 24-hour pay-per-view or pay-per-day access, which customers can buy and watch it again on both mobile application and web browser platform. Last product innovation I would mention is the launch of O2 Spolu, or in English O2 Together, which is our fixed mobile broadband convergent proposition. We have launched throughout the year two basic packages. One includes three SIMs and a TV subscription for one price, and the other one includes two SIMs, home broadband and TV subscription. Of course, both of these packages can be extended by further product or further SIMs, additional SIMs, which can be added, and also the basic 3 gigabytes data limit can be extended up to 10 gigabytes for any of the SIMs. So this does many things to us. It of course helps us to monetize our customer base, drive household ARPU up, but also improve loyalty among our customers because it is clear the more product customers have, the more loyal they stay. Moving to the next slide, I'd like to quickly cover some main highlights of the business performance based on the product that I've just introduced. I'll start with the pay TV base, which actually was growing very modestly or very slowly in the beginning of the year. But since the introduction of the O2 Spolu bundle, it helped accelerating the net adds or the new sales or additional sales, additional adds to our customer base. And we are ending the year with 237,000 households connected to O2 TV, which is 7.5% year-on-year uplift. And if we include also the service multi-room, which basically means more set-top boxes connected to one service, the final figure for 2017 is 275,000 households. Right now, I'm only speaking about the households connected through set-top boxes. Of course, we have additional customers watching on web or through the applications. Second point I would like to mention regarding business performance was a turnaround in sales of home broadband that we have managed. As you may know, you have been following us closely. We have had over the past couple of years declining performance when it comes to new sales of home broadband, and we managed to reverse the trend at the beginning of 2017. So basically, thanks to mainly our combination of technologies, introduction of internet HD product, we have managed to get back in growth. And in 2017, we got 91,000 new customers into the base, which in other words, gross adds or new sales, which represents 30% year-on-year growth compared to the same period last year. So this is very significant. That helped us to stabilize the overall base of the fixed broadband, and we believe this is a very good starting point going forward. Last point I would mention here, but we will definitely come back to this in one of the future calls, is our very new kind of thing that we launched at the very end of the last year, and that is our new Future Shop. We have actually made a decision to redesign our brand stores across the country, of which we have 150 approximately. And we have started rolling out this redesign. The new brand store means a completely different customer experience at the point of sale, and we absolutely believe that it will help us to cement the sales performance and grow it further going forward. This is a long-term project, so I would not like to comment on the results as of now, as we only managed to rebrand a couple of stores since the last 2 months when we started. Last topic on the performance in the Czech Rep would be around mobile data and mobile services. So the mobile data traffic is up year on year 106%, which is a huge growth in terms of data of the volumes that go through the network. This is driven by both increase of the mobile handsets data consumption, but also helped or supported by the introduction of the LTE Home or Internet Air, as I mentioned before. This enables us to further drive upsells to higher data rich tariffs. As you can see on the slide, we are now recording approximately 63% of smartphone penetration in the base and 46% of LTE smartphones penetration in the base, which means gross base or compared to the last year. But I think the good news is that there is still room to grow and new potential to be grabbed. So going forward, I think the potential is by far from being exhausted. Regarding the data tariff upsells, you might have noticed that we have made some changes in the mobile data portfolio. We have introduced some new tariffs with new data bundles or data volumes. So now customers can basically choose from the basic 1.5, 6 giga, 10 or 20 gigabytes of data allowances, which also helps to support mobile ARPU and revenues, and compensate for the roaming losses that was brought by the regulatory changes. The last comment from my side would be about our Slovakian operation. So I would ask you to go to the next slide 8, and I will comment there a little bit about what has happened in Slovakia. So I will probably start by saying that we're very happy with the results that the Auto Slovakia reported for 2017, and this applies for both operational results as well as financials. So in 2017, we focused in Slovakia mainly on the rollout of LTE network, as well as building and strengthening our 2G network to lower our national roaming costs that we still had, as we used national roaming with the competitive operators for 2G. This effort has produced some interesting achievements. Currently in Slovakia, we offer to the customers widest 4G LTE mobile network coverage with approximately 90 or 91% of population covered with LTE. And when it comes to the voice coverage, we are basically at the maximum we can be, 99.8%, including the national roaming coverage, or 98% when we only consider the O2 network itself. You might have heard in the previous calls that we have also started piloting new WTTX technology on the TDD spectrum in 3.5 or 3.7 gigahertz. Right now we are already covering 24% of Slovak population with the technology, and we consider this to be quite an achievement given the fact that we started more or less 1 year ago with the coverage, and we have only started piloting last year. Similarly to the Czech Republic, also in Slovakia, we're focusing on the LTE smartphone penetration. In Slovakia, this is held by the new self-installment model or in-house financing model, which helps Slovakia record growing demand for smartphones. As a result, smartphones as well as LTE penetration in Slovakia are growing steadily. Right now, they have approximately 61% of smartphone penetration and 46% of LTE-enabled smartphones. I think it's worth mentioning that for both Czech and Slovakia, what applies is that new smartphones which are being brought onto the network are almost exclusively LTE ready. So that is something that we did not see at this time last year, but since the market moved ahead, now we can basically say that well over 80 or close to 90% of all new smartphones that light up in the network are already LTE ready, so they support the high speeds that the network offers. In Slovakia, where the internet air technology is not yet spread, the data traffic grew by 55% year on year. Last point I would mention is on the financials. So all the things that I described actually reflected in mobile revenue and ARPU growth, as we were able to monetize the data traffic. In 2017, total revenue in Slovakia grew 8% year on year, this being in local euro currency, of which data grew 27% and hardware hardware revenues increased by 17%. So this contributed to the total EBITDA growth of 8% year on year, and it resulted in almost 34% margin, including national roaming costs and investments in the B2B business, which we are sort of starting in Slovakia. So this was very briefly and quickly from me regarding the business overview. And now I would hand over to Tomáš Kouřil, our CFO, to cover the financials and deep dive into the numbers.
Thank you, Indro. Good morning. Now let me comment on our financial results for the full year 2017, which are at this early stage of the year still audited. So let me start on page 10. On next pages, I'm going to provide you more details on the key drivers impacting our financial performance. So now I will rather highlight only the key messages. So total group operating revenue reached 37.7 billion, up by 0.5 percentage point year over year. So on top of positive performance of mobile data and hardware revenue in both countries, together with higher revenue also from O2TV, also revenue from our financial services was one of the key growth drivers in 2017, and I will comment on that also later on. Our EBITDA reached 10.5 billion, representing 0.6% year-on-year growth. So we have maintained our EBITDA margin flat year-on-year at nearly 28% level, despite negative impact of EU roaming regulation and also higher commercial costs. Net profit reached 5.6 billion, up by 6.2 percentage point year on year. And when commenting on free cash flow, which reached 3.5 billion Czech crowns in 2017, I would like to remind you that it has been impacted by several extraordinary cash-out items. So first, we paid 203 million for a new 3.7 gigahertz spectrum license, which we won in the auction. In addition, we have renewed the 450 megahertz license for 210 million Czech crowns, and we finally also prepaid the extension of O2 brand license by additional 3 years. and it was for 765 million Czech crowns. As Indra already mentioned, in Slovakia, we intensified our investment into 2G and 4G networks, transmission and also fiber backbone, which resulted in about 800 million cash outflow. And we invested additional 800 million Czech crowns into hardware installment sales through the working capital. Indra already commented on effect on our top line. So this is in short high-level overview of the group financials. Now I would like also to mention that today we are not going to make any comment on 2017 shareholder remuneration proposal. Of course, we will inform you about our proposal as soon as possible we finish our internal analysis. Now moving to page 11, where you can see the our fixed revenue, we reported a 6.7% decline year over year. Majority of the decline was driven by B2B segment with voice category still under pressure, and there was also continuous fixed to mobile voice substitution in B2C segment. Let me remind you that back in Q3 2016, there was a peak in fixed voice revenue, and it was due to migration of entire B2C base to unlimited fixed voice tariff. So some natural churn will stay with us also going forward. Now one comment on broadband revenue. In the broadband category externally, we report only fixed broadband revenue. As we mentioned at previous calls, since February, we have been offering this technology-agnostic broadband that I also commented on. And externally, we still reallocate mobile component to mobile data revenue. I will refer to that also on the next page. ICT revenue declined by 14 percentage points, mainly due to lower number of one-off projects for government and public administration. However, I would like to highlight our selective approach to this area, which is reflected in limited or broadly flat year-on-year ICT absolute profit margin. And last comment on this page, I would like to remind you that after the transition period, we don't provide network monitoring to service to our O2 Germany project, which is visible in the other revenue category. Now moving to page 12. Page 12 shows the year-over-year development of our mobile operating revenue. In the Czech Republic, as well as in Slovakia, it was growing, driven by data, hardware, but also financial services. So data revenue maintained double-digit growth in both periods, Q4 standalone, but also year-to-date. And more than, and this is basically more than compensating 5 percentage points for voice and 15 percentage points for messaging revenue decline. And again, in mobile data category, we book also revenue from LTE part of technology agnostic broadband product. One of the most relevant areas we focus on to compensate the pressure we face in our traditional business, including roaming, is the area of financial services. These include electronic sales recording, also with acquiring fees components, and the other area is insurance. Here we offer insurance of handsets and smart usage-based travel insurance bundled with roaming. So overall revenue from financial services reached close to 190 million in 2017. Hardware revenue went up by 18% in the Czech Republic, driven by mobile handsets and accessories, but also electronic sales reporting hardware. Growing hardware sales helped hardware insurance too, as more than 50% of our customers leaving or buying a new hardware are leaving the shop with insurance contract. In Slovakia, the growth was close to 20% as a result of in-house installment model launch in February. And on next page, I will explain how this hardware revenue growth links also to the higher commercial costs. So which moves, let's move to the page 13. And here I would like to comment on the development of group total operating expenses. In 2017, the year-on-year dynamics was different in both countries. While in the Czech Republic, total OPEX was overall flat year-on-year, and there was a growth in hardware costs in line with already mentioned growing hardware revenue and higher cost we paid to our roaming wholesale partners. There was also a saving from insourcing we executed last year, so overall saving amounted to 315 million, of which more than 160 million were commissions, 74 million IT costs, and nearly 80 million in external call centers. In Slovakia, total OPEX increased by 4 percentage points, driven mainly by, again, higher cost of hardware, higher roaming expenses, and investment into segment business development. As a result, total operating expenses increased slightly by 0.9 percentage point compared to last year. On the following page, page number 14, let me briefly comment also on our CAPEX. So as you can see, our underlying CAPEX, which means excluding one-off items, grew by 10 percentage point year over year, mainly driven by 15 higher CAPEX in Slovakia. So underlying group CAPEX to revenue ratio reached 8.5 percentage point, with 6.2 in the Czech Republic, where we continued investing in transformation of our IT platforms. And this will also remain among our main priorities also in next months. In addition, we upgraded our part of our mobile core network. In Slovakia, we accelerated investments into LTE coverage extension, which is or was at year end already at 90%. On top of that, it is also extension of our own 2G network to reduce national roaming costs in the future. The other areas in Slovakia were already commented, and it include improvement of backbone and transmission network to increase the capacity or to be able to handle the increased capacity. O2 Slovakia also continue with this LTE TDD network rollout for home broadband and pay TV services. So overall, Slovak CAPEX to revenue ratio was at 18% level. There were also extraordinary CAPEX items, which we booked in 2017. The first one happened in Q3 and represents 210 million for 450 megahertz license renewal. It was renewal for additional 15 years in February 2018. While the current license was only for CDMA EVDO technology, the new one is neutralized, so it's not data only, it's technology agnostic, so now we can use it for any technology as needed. The other one relates to the extension of O2 brand license agreement with Telefonica. It was extended by additional 3 years, and so now it's secured by January 2022. And we booked related 782 million in CAPEX already in Q3, while we made the relevant cash prepayment later in Q4. So I have already commented at previous calls on CAPEX, and now the relevant payment was also made in Q4. And in Q4, we also booked and paid 203 million for 3.7 gigahertz spectrum, which we won in the auction back in June. And finally, let me briefly comment on changes in our balance sheet between December 16 and 17, page number 15. So overall, total assets grew by 1.5 billion Czech crowns, mainly driven by higher fixed assets. In June, as a part of 2016 shareholder remuneration, we distributed also part of shared premium of 1.2 billion, which together with more repurchased treasury shares is reflected in our lower equity compared to December 2016. When I commented on higher cash payments in 2017, let me remind you our current total debt capacity, which is of 15.5 billion Czech crowns, including new 3.5 billion Czech crowns Schuldschein funding. By the end of December 2017, we utilized 10.5 billion Czech crowns, so we can still use remaining 5 billion for any corporate financing needs. And finally, based on our current net debt and EBITDA for last 12 months, our net debt to EBITDA reached low 0.61 times multiple as of the end of December 2017. And that's it from me. Now I hand over back to Jakub to open the Q&A session.
Thank you, Jindřich, and thank you, Tomáš, both for the presentation. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to open the Q&A session. Karina, we are ready to take the first question.
Thank you, Jakub. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask a question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question comes from Brian Baring, Wood & Co. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Congratulations on good results. My first question is regarding CapEx for next year. What kind of targets do you have in view of the heavy spend that you had already in 2017? Second question is with regards to the contribution from financial services going forward. Should we count on a run rate to remain around 60 million a quarter, or should we see some improvement over that? I would add then cost of store rebranding, which you mentioned, the future stores. How should that impact this year? And if you could comment on the mobile and fixed cost of service paid to Seton last year. Thank you.
So I will handle those questions. So starting with CAPEX, I will here distinguish between the Czech Republic and Slovakia. Starting with the Czech Republic, which is also covering your third question about future shops. Yes, if I should mention two specific priorities for Czech business, it would be definitely IT transformation, which is the key priority for the management of the company. So that's basically our focus, and some CAPEX related to that will be definitely in our books. Also, this year is definitely the year where the ID cost will peak, so that's something which is crystal clear. The second area would be, as Jindřich said, we have already started with some of the few first shops already in last year. We will continue to redesign tens of the others. I can be more specific at this stage, but definitely this is one of the key priority for us in the Czech Republic as well. In Slovakia, we will continue to basically strengthen this time not so much the coverage for 2G and 4G. We will continue with that, but the main focus will be to finish the backbone part of the network. Something which is not related to CAPEX, but I would like to highlight it again. I did it at previous calls, but I will say it again. We will continue to basically invest. It's not CAPEX, but it's investment in working capital into in-house installment model. So basically, typical lifetime of the customer is, B2C customer is 2 years. So basically, the 2018 will be the second year to basically boost the working capital to the level which would be plus minus maintainable going forward. Financial services, basically there are two components. One, basically you can assume that we will continue with activities, especially in insurance of hardware, which is the one which is more relevant in our P&L. Again, this is something to do with the life cycle of B2C customers. So typical period is, again, 2 years. So I will not provide you very specific guidance on that, but you can assume that we will still slightly increase the P&L line for this particular business, but then it will be basically getting to the level which we will maintain going forward because we will reach the capacity. The second area is sales recording. As you are based in the Czech Republic, so you know that the second or the third and fourth wave was basically postponed. We feel comfortable in terms of current market position. We are not very happy about the postponement. Of course, we are ready to stay on the positive side. We assume that there might be some market consolidation because there are plenty of, or the market is quite fragmented, so we will see what how will market look like later on. In terms of set-in and the payment for the mobile, I will repeat what we have mentioned in the previous calls. So basically how the structure of the contract is that we pay for mobile overall flat amount. However, what we can do is basically we can ask set-in for basically two specific situations for investing more, and we pay for it. And this is A. As I explained in the past, there is the threshold of number of base stations they are going to build for us as a part of the flat fee. If we need more, then we can pay for it and set in build it for us. There are in reality two situations. Either we need to cover specific B2B customer premises, or if the capacity of the current base station is utilized, we may ask either increase the capacity or in extreme case to build a new base station. So as I said, there is some threshold, which is, if it is as long as it is this threshold, it's part of the flat fee. Otherwise, we pay for it. So I think that's the four answers for your four questions.
Okay, if I could just follow up then with regards to CapEx in terms of percentage of revenues, what kind of a blended number should we be looking for 2018?
We don't provide, specific guidance on that one. I would rather help you by saying what you should not expect. So I would say you should not expect that we will basically repeat the, as far as I know at the moment, you know, so it's an important disclaimer. There are no auctions which would be on our radar screen for this year. So those payments I have referred in terms of CAPEX for 450 megahertz spectrum and 3.7 gigahertz spectrum in the Czech Republic should not be repeated. And also, as we said, we paid for O2 brand, which was for 3 years, so it would not be reflected in CAPEX and cash flow. It's both already covered. What you can expect is basically the payment for Champions League content, which unfortunately I cannot comment on the financial details at this stage. On the other hand, as a part of our Q1 results, you will see blended CAPEX level overall, so you can conclude yourself. So that's what I can basically say at this stage on CAPEX going forward.
And then with regards to the set and payments, in 2017, how much did you pay over the base amount?
Basically, it was roughly 1 percentage point. So it was not, as I said, this is rather extraordinary situations that like relevant payment in general.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question comes from Ondřej Cabejšek, Berenberg. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on your new role, Ondřej. I have two questions, please. The first one... Sorry, if you could please elaborate a bit on how you managed to turn your gross margin in mobile from contracting in the third period due to roaming, I guess, to expanding year over year in this period? And the second question is if you could please update us on your IT transformation timeline and whether once this is done, you plan to launch a richer conversion portfolio as a result of that as well. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ondřej, thank you for your questions. I will handle the first one and then Indra will comment on the other one. Roaming impact, once we believe that, or basically it was always mentioned that 2017 is the year where there would be like full impact of roaming regulation effect, is not the case. In reality, or it was basically, but only partially, where we will see the full effect of roaming will be only in 2018. There will be like two negative deltas on top of what we have experienced in 2017. First of all, it will be first time fully annualized effect of roaming. As you know, back in 2017, the roaming regulation was adopted only in the middle of the year, like June 15. So this time it will be like full year impact, A. And B, what we assume there will be like elasticity of the roaming effect, meaning that customers will call and use data more than they use in the past. So it's something to do with the average usage per customer, which we assume will increase. So to answer your question, we don't have any specific quantification. Again, believe me, I would wish to have it myself. We have to wait and see what is the trend, especially we will know better after the peak period, which, as you know, in the Czech Republic is July, August. Only then we can basically preliminary agree, conclude, and share with you potentially. Okay.
And can you maybe say, if I may jump in here, so more to the sort of margin question, because you did have a negative impact in the third quarter, and that's probably the most seasonally high impact of roaming, that is understood. But my question was more, how did you manage, or what drove the fact that your gross margin on mobile actually expanded year over year in the fourth quarter, where you know you would usually assume that it contracts just like it did in the third quarter? That was more my question, if you could elaborate on that a bit.
Okay, understood. So basically, if you follow me to page number 12, here you can see basically, I would say, two main items which are behind that. First of all, there is a delta of 174 million for financial services, which is basically difficult to allocate either to fix or mobile, but because it's related mainly to mobile hardware insurance, we put it here. So it was something which was non-existing basically in 2016. So this is any business we do there, like 190 million. You can see that vast majority is reported as the delta. So this is one factor. The second factor is basically, or maybe two more. One more is in hardware. If you compare our sales of hardware, including not only hands, but also accessories, which is coming with very nice margin, which I like, there is a relevant growth year over year. This is also something to do with the concept Indra described of Future Shop, where we have basically more opportunity to have the discussion with the customer about his/her needs, and we are able to sell related services as financial services or products as accessories and hardware. And last but not least, as you can see, not only that mobile data category is compensating voice and messaging, but we are also basically, and there is typically the effect of roaming incorporated in those categories, but it's creating like extra delta. So that's what is behind that.
Okay, let me comment on the second question. If I understood correctly, the question was around how will the IT transformation that we are currently undergoing reflect in potential proposition changes or structure of the proposition changes and strategy going forward. So Let me maybe explain that the current IT transformation we're going through is basically focused on two main levers. One would be definitely easier and faster new product slash tariff deployment. So we would be able to come up with new tariffs, new products faster, easier, definitely cheaper than up to now. And second, and very importantly, the IT transformation is focused on significantly improving, on one hand, end customer experience, and on the other hand, internal user experience with the O2 systems. Yeah. So basically, it will reflect in, on one hand, customer being able to do many more things online in real time, in much more convenient user interface and environment, so to speak. But at the same time, and this is extremely important, it will simplify the life of the internal sales and care people when providing information about services selling and going basically through the internal processes of service activation and service delivery. And this will not only contribute, we believe, to the overall satisfaction and customer and the user experience, but it will also enable or unlock to drive further sales performance, because simply internal people during the sales process will have much more time to focus on the sales speech and customer service leading to sales speech rather than, I would say, working with the systems, so to speak. So I'm not sure if this answered your question, but this would be my feedback to this.
Sure, that does. And then in terms of timeline, you still expect this to be launched all in the second half of this year, and then potentially then you will. Basically, my question is: you've got unique assets, right? You've got access to fixed, you've got mobile, you've got pay TV with unique content, and it doesn't seem like you're using the potential of those combined assets to its full potential now. So my question is, once this is launched, presumably in the second half of this year, do you expect to launch more conversions especially?
Right, okay, understood. So on the timing, yes, end of second half is the target. However, let me mention here that for us, safety and security comes first, so we will be very careful not to deploy anything that would result in actually even temporary negative experience. So we might adjust the timing based on the readiness. That would be kind of first part of my question. Second, yes, it should to a certain extent enable us to leverage the flexibility and speed to bring products to the market faster, but I would say that it is not, or I do not see the current situation as a major blocker. For us, for instance, as you mentioned, going into using and leveraging the frequencies of the acquired spectrum is not only dependent on the readiness of our IT systems and on the easiness of deployment, but also on the, I would say, readiness of the market, potential on the market, and also the ability of our vendors to basically deliver the technology switch. Yeah, so there is many more components coming into play, and we will very carefully consider what we deploy when, just to really treat the P&L very responsibly and not to invest somewhere where we cannot utilize the investment properly.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a follow-up question from Brian Baring. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the follow-up question. Regarding DSL and Seton, clearly it's been a drag on your business to expand DSL because there, the ones in charge of network upgrades. This is something you flagged in previous quarters. I'm just wondering, is the bottlenecks that Sutton has been facing, do you see that these are being solved? And could this potentially lead to a stabilization or even growth in your DSL numbers in the fixed business through the course of 2018? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. I'll try to address it. So on the VDSL setting and basically technology, I would say transformation itself in the network. So maybe we should shed some light on the XDSL performance at the moment. What we are seeing is really very good and promising performance on the VDSL lines, on the higher speed lines. So there, the gross sets look really well, and the new sales go well, and the churn is really well under control. Yeah. So, I mean, we are quite happy with everywhere and where the technology is basically switching from A to VDSL, and we are absolutely utilizing this opportunity to go and at those places where possible, leverage what technology offers to the biggest extent. So, for instance, we are extremely successful in offering and actually selling the highest possible speed on the line, which is ready and available for the customer, even though the price is a little bit higher than the, let's say, the basic standard variant, which is for us the optimal variant, 20 by 2 megabits. Yeah. So there we're performing quite well. When it comes to the further expansion of the fixed network, and this is probably more a question to Tetin than us, what we are absolutely doing is we're looking into where is it that we can utilize our mobile assets, where fixed assets are not present, and this is what we do, basically. Yeah, and I commented on it during my part of the presentation, and it seems to be working really well. Of course, what we need to keep in mind going forward is the network readiness to absorb this data, let's say, increase or data capacity increase, and hence our discussions on the new frequencies, aggregations, and so on. But I mean, looking at it from the perspective, I do not perceive this what you mentioned to be a major hurdle or bottleneck. Of course, it can be always better, but right now we have lots of assets to utilize, not only in the fixed world. Yeah.
So rather, it's going to be a story about moving from fixed DSL to wireless, where you're focusing.
I wouldn't say this way. No, I mean, wherever there is fixed, we offer fixed for many different reasons. It absolutely makes sense. Let me put it this way. So wireless is always a second option.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we have the time for the last question. So if there's any question.
Our last question comes from Andrzej Kuniak, RedSide. Sir, please go ahead.
Okay, hi guys. Just one question from my side. Just when shareholders can expect any indication regarding dividend, as you tend to announce this with the four-quarter results in the past.
Okay, Andre, very well understood. Basically, as I have already mentioned today, we are not providing any comments on shareholder remuneration. At the same time, we are not announcing any change to our dividend or shareholder remuneration policy. So let me remind you that we said that we distribute dividend within the range of 90 to 110% of distributable profit for the year.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, we distributed part of our share premium in the amount of 4 crowns per share. Basically, what we are presenting today are still unaudited figures given the early stage of the year. That's also why we need more time to finish our internal analysis. And as always, we will inform the market on specific shareholder remuneration proposal or board proposal well in advance before the general meeting date. I think you will feel some empathy for us. I'm not saying this is the only reason, but what I mean by internal analysis, to be a little bit more specific, once you will update your own model for IFRS 15, you will see this is a little bit comprehensive and complex exercise. So this is what we need to finish, and that's what it's also specific. I'm not saying this is the only reason, but I think you will think about myself once you will do that yourself. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
So I think that's all for today. So thanks again for attending today's calls. If some of your questions remain unanswered, please feel free to contact myself, and I will be more than happy to accommodate them. And now, on behalf of the company, I would like to terminate today's call. Thank you and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.